Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Every single person here needs to apologize, myself included.
I'm sorry, what did I do?
Oh, you know what you did.
I did nothing.
What you did is what I did, which is what Morash did, which is what the morning guys did, which is what the midday guys did, which is what certainly Big Mac did, which is we have been staring at how crappy the Mets are, and they are crappy, and that continued last night, and we'll get to it in a mere minutes. And we've been distracted by the fact that the Yankees are still crappy. Even though they finally won a game against the Angels and won two out of three against the Orioles, what happens when they go to Cincinnati against a very average Reds team? What happens?
Well, they got beat
out of three. They got beat, which means they've lost 9 out of 12. And I think the Yankees, especially over the last few days, have ducked the criticism because the Mets are worse right now. But the Yankees, much to my shock, I thought that that win on a Thursday afternoon against the Angels 6 days ago was going to spark them, and it sort of did for a few days. But the reality is, the Yankees are still a mess, T.
Right. They are a mess because they can't find ways to win clutch games. Not even clutch, because these don't even matter this early in the season, but important games in the middle of the season at the end of games. Right? You said this 2 weeks ago, close to a month ago, about how bad the Yankees were in extra innings. And I didn't even pay attention to it because I was like, all right, who cares? How many games have they played in extra innings? Three? Four? Who cares if they don't win any of them, especially on the road? But now it's become troublesome because it's almost automatic that they're losing if they go to extra innings. And it makes no sense.
The New York Yankees are the worst road extra inning team in baseball since the new Manfred Mann started. They suck in this situation. And for those who say, well, don't worry, guys, because once you get to the postseason, you don't play with the Manfred Mann. They haven't been great in the postseason either. Mm. They did win the Juan Soto game 5 against Cleveland last year, but that's their one playoff extra inning win in their last 5 that they've played. And so you look at this and you look at their struggles and you say, okay, is it something specific about this team? Is it the lack of fundamentals? Is it the lack of situational hitting? What the hell is it? And I think right now, especially when you watch a baseball team that's struggling, and we'll get to the Mets in a few minutes as well, it's usually a little bit of everything. Like, for example, I hate to pick on one specific person, but I'm going to do it, and I'm going to call him by the proper name when I do it. Aaron Judge, the king of New York sports, came up with the bases loaded and 2 outs. Like, it's what you dreamt of, especially because the guys ahead of him, Ben Wright and Trent Grisham, somehow got on base in front of him, including Ben Wright throwing a walk. And so when Aaron Judge comes up in that spot, the king of New York, with the bases loaded and 2 out.
Good catch.
You expect a kingly result, and it doesn't happen.
Right.
And for whatever reason, over these last 12 games, and we could argue if this is just the ebbs and flows of a baseball season or if there are real issues arising, this team is finding ways to lose close games, and sometimes it's a little thing.
Yeah.
Like Carlos Rodon not being able to pitch that past the sixth inning, Aaron Boone having the quick hook on him. That affected the game greatly because if Rodon goes 7, Loaisiga doesn't pitch. If Loaisiga doesn't pitch, it's Luke Weaver, Devin Williams. They probably win 3-0 or 3-1, and that's it. And we're ripping the Mets right now instead of talking about the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
So it forced you to go to your bullpen early, which forced you to use your top relievers early, which forced you to be stuck in a spot where Mark Leiter Jr. is pitching for a second straight day in a situation where, ideally, he's not pitching a second straight day. And then the other little thing that you have, even though I don't think this cost them the game, it's bad, is I love Jazz Chisholm. I'm probably his biggest supporter. You can't do that, bro. You can't do that. As pissed as you are that the home plate umpire missed a call that was clearly a ball, which he also did an inning earlier, that benefited the New York Yankees, you can't get yourself ejected. And so right now the Yankees are in this midst, Teak, where they do a lot of small little things that pile up and they find ways to lose. And don't look now, the American League East is close.
Well, here's what it feels like is happening. You try to, as a player, especially baseball player, and I don't know this personally because I never played, but I'm just from knowing baseball players, hearing them talk, hearing sports talk radio and media talk about baseball, you try to just push it away when you're having bad streaks or a bad week or bad 2 weeks or a month or whatever it is. It's just baseball, right? How many times have we heard that over and over again? But as a player, when you hear those things happening around you, but you know that there's like there's something that you could do a little bit better. Like you could just give a little bit more effort, or you could, you know, try to hit a home run as opposed to just getting a base hit. Like those little pressing things get compounded when they start stacking them week, day after day after day after day after day, and then you get bad habits. And then when you don't have success, you get frustrated. Like, that's what it felt like with me with Jazz. He's just frustrated. And it's maybe his frustration. It shouldn't be because he's actually playing well. He's actually been playing well.
Yeah.
But it's the frustration of collective frustration of this team. It reared its ugly head in this case at the wrong moment. And it ends up not maybe cost you, but it cost you, right? When Jazz gets ejected, it costs you an important piece of what you're trying to put together each and every night. And so that's frustration to me. That's a result of all of the losing over the last 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks, that they can't seem to explain away or effort away. Because sometimes you just effort it away by working harder, being better. They can't seem to do it.
Right.
And so it's getting frustrating when you know how to fix it, but you can't.
I think the other thing that's frustrating is they are so automatically bad when they play these extra inning games. And this is not the first time we've talked about it.
But that's unexplainable to me.
It doesn't make sense.
I do
have an explanation, or I'm going to give you a theory to explain that.
And they don't know what the f*** they're doing.
Yeah, that one works.
That can work. I think that the extra inning rule puts a magnifying glass on some of the smaller issues the Yankees have, and it gets exposed in a situation in which you start an inning with a runner on second and nobody out.
Right.
So what I mean by that is, you know, I know Sean and I had a big fight about swinging at the first pitch. Austin Wells swang at the first pitch in extra innings. And baseball players are so used to hitting the ball in the air. Like, it is a curse word to hit the ball on the ground.
Right. Yep.
If you do that, that's bad. Well, in a situation like that, it's actually good to hit the ball on the ground. Because if you hit the ball on the ground to the same spot where Austin Wells hit the ball in the air, there's a runner on third with less than two outs. And the Yankees, here's the stat you should look up. How many times do they advance that runner from second to third with less than two outs, where they even get the opportunity to drive that run in without making it out? And so the Yankees are just so bad at these little fundamentals that over the course of a long season, they don't bother you because, well, they hit three-run home runs, they score runs, they're fine, they win anyway. But in the 10th inning and the 11th inning of these extra inning games, there's a magnifying glass on those things where if you don't do it right, you're going to lose games. And here's the thing, and this is why it's tough for you or anyone else to argue with me about this, especially the manager. Aaron, there's a big sample size. I'm not citing 20-25 numbers. Oh, you're 1-6 in extra inning games. You're 0-5 in extra inning games on the road. Let's cite it all since 2021. Let's look at the whole damn thing. You've been here. Mm-hmm. You've been here the whole time. If you go back and look at the entire sample size of extra inning games on the road, they are 13-26. That is the worst in baseball. There's not a team worse. Not the White Sox, not the Rockies, not anybody.
Right.
And considering that the Yankees are mostly good every single year, there is no explanation other than what I'm pointing out, which is it's a magnifying glass on some of the smaller issues that the Yankees generally have that don't get exposed every night, but they do get exposed when they play these games that go to extra innings on the road.
Yeah, I wonder if this is as simple as being reminded of what you're just talking about. You got a runner in scoring position already in extra innings. Just get the ball on the ground, find a hole, and at the very least, you advance the runner.
Right? Yes.
But you know in football when everybody in the stadium, everybody at home watching, the commentators, even your grandmother who knows nothing about football, knows that the quarterback is just trying to draw you offsides.
Yeah.
You know those situations? Oh, you see them all the time.
Yeah.
Right?
And then the Jets get called for being offsides.
Right.
I'm very familiar with that situation.
And you know why? Because the coach probably doesn't say to them before, as they're walking out on the field, hey, don't jump offside. I know you know it, but I'm telling you anyways, don't jump offside. It's like your kid. Hey, put your dishes away. Don't leave them out because the dog's going to eat your leftover food. And it's going to be all over the ground. I know. Okay, but just do it. You got to remind them sometimes. And I wonder if it's as simple as that. Just take that normal swing where you're trying to launch that thing to Timbuktu. How about you just tone it down a little bit? Swing flat and level like you were taught when you were 8 years old. Just swing, nice level swing, get a base hit. If you're just reminded of the little things sometimes, it sticks, right? And it's there. I wonder if it's as simple as that.
Maybe.
Maybe yesterday at the beginning of this show, because this is now a common thread every single day at 2 o'clock to worry about our baseball teams, because that's June in 2025. Mm-hmm. I asked you, using, you know, beach flags, how concerned you were about the New York Mets, and you raised a red flag of concern.
I did.
Well, the New York Yankees have lost 9 out of 12. They can't win extra inning games. Their lead in the American League East has diminished to the smallest it's been. Are you worried?
Yes.
You are worried.
Of course.
You're an equal opportunity worrier.
Equal opportunity worrier because it's taking too long, right? They're too good to have these type of issues keep cropping up. And I forgot what game it was that we were alluding to, but sometimes when you win in a certain way, and for the Yankees, it's been by mashing the ball and throwing stupid run differential, which is still holding somehow despite their struggles over the last couple of weeks. But sometimes it requires small ball, right? Sometimes it requires doing the little things. And I worry that the Yankees don't have that ability.
Well, I think that's what kills them in extra innings.
Just have the ability to do fundamental small ball baseball. And I know it's easier to just, you know, get a massive home run or whatever, but it's actually harder.
Yeah.
Especially when you're struggling to make contact.
I do want to give you a positive, because last night after the Mets lost, I did a Rico Bronya where it was mostly screaming and yelling about how much they suck. Mm. And I actually threw out a few positives. Like, Jeff McNeil had a good at-bat in the ninth inning. Ah, they got Raisel Iglesias in the game. I'd like to give the Yankee fans a positive. At least nobody on your team forgot the score, which happened to Ellie De La Cruz in extra innings. And that's where I thought the Yankees were going to win. I thought the Reds were going to out-Yankee the Yankees and make a mental mistake that killed them. Uh-huh. It turned out not to be the case.
Nice to see Jazz going deep. Freed, you know, you mentioned it before, BT, but it is worth mentioning again. Yep. Well, we talked about the Soto contract, and, you know, I believe it's worth every penny. We could disagree on that, but Soto been a beast this month. The one thing that we did agree on was Max Freed at the time. I don't even care that it was, what, the $218 million the Yanks had to give the extra year. They had a need. They were willing to go spend. I would not be a big investor in starting pitching, but if there were one guy that I would have invested in this offseason, it was Max Fried. He has been worth every penny for the Yanks.
That's what you need an ace for. That's why you have a stopper. Now, it doesn't guarantee that he's going to be up in rotation, like his turn of the rotation is going to be there when you need him in the postseason. It doesn't mean, if it is, that he's going to throw a gem in the postseason. We've seen a lot of great pitchers get knocked around in the play, including him. He's had a couple of spotty starts. But what it generally does do is ensure you that you avoid long losing streaks. That was really the old mantra, like, all right, you know, we have so-and-so, we have Gibson getting the ball, even Dwight Gooden, we've got, you know, with Seaver, we know the names, Guidry. All right, losing streak over. You know, let's just get two. We don't need a lot of offense, and this guy's going to put up a bunch of zeros. And he does, and he is so smart, and he is so crafty, and his stuff is obviously great. Like, I think when you hear crafty and smart, you almost think that there's diminished stuff that he's getting by solely on guile. No, nonsense. He's the full package where his stuff is elite and his mind is just next level. He really is. I knew he was awesome. He's better than I thought.
The other thing that stood out to me from last night, and again, not to make a big deal because the Reds stink. I mean, I don't care what their record is. Kicking a ball all over the place. They're just sloppy to begin with in the beginning of that game yesterday, setting the table for the Yanks. But the other thing that stood out was Dominguez. Not only the four hits, but just his speed, dude. It is on. The guy hits a routine ground ball, and he's busting it out of the box at first base. Like, he should be, and maybe he will be as soon as this year, but he should be a much more impactful player. We focused on Volpe for a lot of the conversation here so far early in the season. You and I have focused on Wells. I know we've touched on Dominguez here, and he's such a young player and hasn't played a lot of baseball at the minor league level yet. But, dude, he should be a high-impact player for this Yankee team. I would not be surprised if he had a monster second half, but that could be the difference in taking this team to a World Series caliber level from where they're at now.
He really is a special athlete. Like, he is thick. He is explosive. Now, funny thing is, you know, if they go back to the spring training, Sal, we were worried, and I was worried, too. I remember saying after, you know, 2 or 3 days of follies in left field, I'm like, you know what? Screw it. Just abort the mission here. Put him in center. Bellinger could adjust and put Belly in left here. And they didn't do that. But what we haven't seen is any follies really since. Now, I wouldn't say he's a standout elite left fielder. But he certainly hasn't embarrassed himself, nor has he hurt the Yankees out there. And this is what, and hopefully that continues, this is one of the reasons why I'm not sold on this roster. You know that. But I'm more bullish on it in terms of being certainly more athletic and a little more dynamic from a year ago. Like, Volpe can run. Now, we have to see how much he can hit, but Volpe can run. Jazz can run. Dominguez could fly. Bellinger can run. You know, obviously Judge is big and a little bit cumbersome, but, you know, he's scoring from a double, on a double from first base. He can sneaky steal the base there. He's got good wheels. Outside of when DJ plays the catcher, and Austin Wells is actually a very smart base runner, there's really not many. Even Goldschmidt's a very smart base runner. They have a pretty good balance of speed and intelligence, which is why the way they looked a week or so ago when they were tripping all over themselves, I didn't know what the hell was going on.
Yeah, but
the bases.
The problem with that is the speed is only good if you have guys who put the bat on the ball and put the ball in play. Otherwise, what good is it?
Well, no, for sure.
Yeah, you could get Dominguez on base. That's great. But if guys are striking out left and right, they're not going to do anything with it. So, and really, speed should not be his greatest asset for Dominguez. It is a great asset. It's nice that the Yankees have that. Obviously, you'd prefer to have that than not. He's got to start hitting with some power here. I mean, the fact that he's impacted four games, we're midway through the season, he's impacted four games with home runs, meaning he's got six on the year, but three came in one game against the A's in that minor league park.
Like, very surprising.
That's nowhere near good enough for Dominguez.
I agree. I thought by now, here we are, almost the 4th of July, I thought that there would have been at least four or five home runs. We're like, wow, how far did that thing go? Is that 430? Is that 440? Is that 450? 460? Like, I haven't seen the tape measure shot yet. And, you know, and not that I need tape measure shots. I mean, just I'll take whatever you can get. But he was hyped up, and the scouting report was immense power and just a blur on the bases. We've seen the speed dynamic more than we've seen the power dynamic.
BT and Sal on the fans. Get back to the phones. 888-808-1019, the number to call. Greg is calling from Mayapak. What's up, Greg?
Thanks for taking the call, guys. BT, next year, when you get Cole back, you're going to have a little Randy Johnson, Curt Schilling combo there, with the lefty righty with Freed and Cole. I mean, 2001 Diamondbacks did pretty good with that, actually.
They did. And listen, don't forget about Hill. We haven't seen Hill yet. Now, we don't know.
Yeah,
we can't put him in that category, but, you know, Lewis Hill has plus stuff.
Your top two is going to be pretty decent, to say the least. Regarding Soto, guys, it gave me a flashback to my brother-in-law took me to a 76ers Lakers game way back in the day. Allen Iverson was on the 76ers. In fact, it was a year they went to the finals and they lost to the Lakers. Shaq and Kobe. I forgot what year that was, but anyway,
2001, right?
Yeah, something like exactly. And I saw Michael Jordan play live for one time in Philly, and he took the game off. It was like in the middle of the season. He didn't care. At the end of the game, the guy still had like 25, sleepwalking through the game. Soto is the same type of greatness. You know, it might look like it ain't doing nothing, but at the end of the day, I think he's going to end up with 40 and 100, to be honest with you guys. I think
he better have 100. He's making $55 million a year.
Thank you for the call, Greg. Yeah, I mean, I'm not caught up on the numbers. I'm more worried about the impact. Obviously, the numbers are going to be, you know, somewhat, they are correlated with the impact that he would have, but I'm happy with Juan Soto. I'm happy the Mets spent every single penny. I would have spent more. I think he's worth more money than that. I'm happy with him defensively. I'm happy with him on the bases. I'm happy with every single at bat. I'm happy with his attitude. There is nothing to me that, other than the results of the first month or so, I'm could not be happier with the Juan Soto signing.
Well, I understand that, and I know why you say that, but I would also, and we don't know it until we get there, I think it's going to be very interesting to see where his numbers are. You know, there's the expectation, there's twofold. You know, change the profile of the Mets and now come in and do absolute destruction at the plate. Now, part of his destruction is of the quiet variety where he walks a lot, and that's obviously a big part. I mean, that's the main part of his greatness because he's not a career 300 hitter, and I don't know if he's a 500 home run, although he might hit 500. I think that Soto, to me, in year one, like if I'm a Mets fan and I'm watching the team, and yeah, it's more about the team than Soto, at least it should be from a team perspective. But if I'm sitting here in November and I'm looking back and he's 30, the home runs will be there because he's on a tear. But if I see 92 RBIs and he hits 283, what are we doing? We throwing a parade? 280, like,
yeah,
like, come on, dude. The guy's got to hit 295 and drive it a buck 20.
He's a career 282 hitter. If he hit, would you say 285?
I think I said 282, 283.
I'd take that right now.
I mean, I know you take it, but, you know, for me, the expectation, if the Yankees signed a guy who came with that reputation and that price tag, you better go, like, you better win the MVP. You better have a buck 20. RBIs, you better have an OPS of 1,000.
But that's a different, like, Pete may have a buck 20 RBI. He's not the player that Juan Soto is. So they're getting the run production from a different spot. By the way, having 90 RBI is not, like, that is significant run production. Combined with how many runs that he's going to score?
He's going to score a ton of runs.
Yeah, okay.
He's on pace for about 120-something runs. Scored a ton of runs.
Were you not happy with Soto's year last year?
I was very happy.
So he hit 288.
No, I was very happy, yeah, but there's
that's
no...
That's what I'm saying.
No, I was very... And he also had a career high in home runs and RBIs
right.
with 109 and 40 bombs. So, no, I was happy, but what I'm saying is an amazing season versus a good season, or even, to be fair, a really good season looks different.
If he hits 35 home runs and drives in 95 runs and hits 285, I mean... What do you expect him to be perfect every year? Like, that's almost career highs. So it's to me that, and obviously the walks there and the OPS and all that stuff.
Would you say 285, 35, and 90?
Yeah. Okay, so he's a little off the pace with the RBI.
285, 35, and 90. No, I got you. Listen, if I'm looking at those three right now, to me, there's no doubt he's going to have 35 home runs. I don't know if he's going to be a 285, I mean, that's flip a coin. He's not there very often, so it's not just a layup and say, yeah, he's going
to
do it.
Well, that would be the hardest one, I think, at this particular point to get to.
Was he at 260 now?
256.
All right, he's getting there. I mean, 90 RBIs. I guess I'm just stuck on the RBIs. Now, that's just a low number for somebody. And again,
he's been awful with runners and scoring positions.
Well, that's his fault. It ain't your fault. I mean, be better and you're going to have more than 90 RBIs.
Okay, but he might. You think you could be better than what Juan Soto's been in June? Like I've seen
Aaron Judge have better months than this.
Okay, Aaron Judge is the best player in the world.
I mean, not many. Yeah. He's having a hell of a month. I give you that.
You give me that?
Yeah, but,
you give me. He's been the best player in the sport for a month. You're going to give me that? Oh, thank you.
Very nice concession on my part.
Good guy. He's having a month that. How many players do you think in the big leagues today are capable? Bobby Witt.
Yeah.
Hey, like, you name them all. How many players, because there's probably three, maybe five. How many players do you think, to me, they come to mind, Judge and Ohtani. How many players are capable of doing what Soto's done this month?
But now, when you say capable, you're including the walks, right? Because
all of it.
I mean, listen, it's not a very long list. I promise you that. And I will concede that, sir. But I will also say this. I promise you, there's probably 30 guys in the major going to have more than 90 RBIs. And there's probably 20 guys who are going to hit more than 280-something. That's all I'm saying. Like, this comes back to the pushback of the word generational. I admit I am hung up on that. That bothers me. Like, the transcendent, which is with the on-base stuff. I get it. Jimmy Fox, you start getting these references, you're doing something right. But
well, that's the home runs for multi-home run games.
I know, but Jimmy Fox is an all-time name, man. So you got to tip the cap. And I'm actually wearing a hat today. You got to tip the cap. So I just did. But 90. Let's say 91 RBIs. Let's say it's 281. I mean, I'm not saying it's not a good season, but that's what you're supposed to do. And then you're supposed to do, for me, with the contract, 15, 18, 20% more. That's just me.
Yeah, I'm not worried about living up to the contract. That's just, to me, foolish. And he is, at least in my mind, living up to the contract. But you want to go pound for pound, dollar for dollar, who's exceeding their value, whatever it may be. I don't worry about that. I'm not cutting the checks. There's no salary cap. Steve Cohen's not going to let it prevent him from getting somebody else. They needed to pay what they did to land this megastar. And after starting out slow and not looking like himself, he is now performing like a superstar that he is. And that's all. I'm good with it. I mean, from a Met fan perspective, he is the best player. And maybe some people disagree with this. I really don't care. He's the best offensive player that has ever put on a New York Met uniform. End of story. And he's only been here for 3 months.
Oh, I agree with that. But there's also a few things baked into that. There's a few side exits
there. Well, I love Piazza. Piazza's a Hall of Famer. You know, Beltran, I think, is going to be a Hall of Famer, and I love him. Lindor could have won the MVP a year ago. Like, he's a terrific player. Pete has had his moments. Right. I mean, you name them all. Strawberry. This is a different animal.
I agree. And by the way, just to follow that up, so last year, Brandon Nimmo had 90 RBIs. Now, right. Good for Brandon Nimmo, but I'm sorry. I expect Juan Soto to have 15, 20, 25, 30 more than Nimmo. And, oh, yeah, by the way, last year, 26 players in baseball had 90 RBIs or more. That's all I'm saying.
I think 110 would be, or whatever, 105, somewhere like that. Soto's career high is 110 in RBI, and he had 109 the last 2 years consecutively. He is as consistent as they come. Some years you're going to hit 40. Some years you're going to hit 35. Like, that's not going to be on the button every single year. 35, 40, all right, what's really the difference? Yeah, 40 is great, but like if you hit 35, it's not that big of a deal. Same thing for me, 100, 110, whatever. And then maybe he ends up with that. Maybe he ends up with 90. Would that be a little short? Okay, in his first year, I'd still take it.
You know,
he's not 120 ribby guy.
I know, but I guess what I'm saying is he should be for that money.
But he's not.
Well, I understand that. Keep calling him generational?
Now, when I would say, like, he led the league in runs scored a year ago, I know he had Judge behind him, he should be on par with the top.
He's going to be up there. He might do that this year. Okay. He's on pace for, like, 125, 130. He's got a lot.
Same thing with the walks.
Like, yeah, I know.
He should be. What he does is lead the league in runs or be up there, lead the league in walks, or certainly, top two, three, whatever. Have monster power numbers as far as the home run goes. 90, 100 RBI, I mean.
Listen, here's one thing, though. So, now you got to be honest with me with this. Yeah. All right? We grow up, baseball cards, This Week in Baseball. We know all the names. We don't have to run through the names. You and I are both very good with stats. You maybe more so when you were younger. You don't care about them. Okay, but I know you knew them back then.
Yeah.
You know the great players.
30 to 100, right.
You know the neighborhoods in which the Bretts and the Donnies when he was healthy and the Gwynns and the Boggs for the average and all the Kirby. We know all the names. He hits 281 this year. Don't tell me it was an amazing season.
But that's a career. That's his career average.
Well, like, then he's got to get a little better for me to start saying that you're up there with, whatever.
You want him to be something he's not.
Can you hit 295?
Maybe 1 year. He did it 1 year, but that was a short year he had.
I think he had like 330 that one short 20, year.
Yeah, 350 the shortened year.
Yeah, I also had 246 in a full year.
He had 313 in 2021.
Dude, I'm not trying to dog the guy. Yeah. I'm really not.
And 292 in 2018 his rookie year, but that was only 116 games.
Yeah, I promise. For those who are hearing this, I'm not trying to dog Juan Soto. All I'm saying is that contract, that hype, that reaction, don't hit 281. Come on. Well, hopefully you weren't too hungry, because there was not exactly big burgers being served up last night in terms of meat. Matter of fact, a whole lot of nothing burgers, except for the except for the one home run by Aaron Judge, and it looked like it was going to be a good start, and it was, but that's pretty much where it ended. So really, they just didn't put a lot of runs across the plate. 11 strikeouts. Bellinger did have the 3 hits, and he's in the meat of the order. Judge the home run. Outside of that, 6-1 Yankee loss. The meat was quiet. When you're looking for the meat for your order, choose Boar's Head. Committed to craft since 19. You losers. 05.
BT and Sal on the Fan. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. We're talking baseball. We'll get to the Knicks coming up in a little bit. We have a little bald-faced truth, bald-faced lie. Let's get to some of the phones here, BT. Ted is calling from Edgewater. What's up, Teddy?
Hey, how are you guys doing today?
Good.
What's up, Ted?
All right. You know, I have a couple of comments. Please let me finish those. I won't be belabored. Basically, with Stanton, let's start there. Basically, I fear that, unfortunately, because he got hurt, he made adjustments in his bat, and as a result, I think he can't hit the fastball. They throw it right by him. That's number one. Number two, I think that we're dealing with a situation where we're dealing with a lot of dead weight. Okay, we have Stanton in there. We've got, LeMayu. I can't imagine them winning with this type of a team. It's like a little league team that we're basically having to play everybody. Ben Rice clearly should be playing over him at this moment. And I think that we're looking at a big problem. And I want you guys to help me, because I was so frustrated last night watching. I know BT made a comment earlier that I told my friend I can't watch this anymore. I mean, you know what's going to happen. I mean, they fell behind against a very pedestrian pitcher, and you figure you're going to score 5-6 runs, and we don't.
Especially in that ballpark.
Oh, God. Exactly right.
God. I beg you guys to help me.
Listen, all right, I'm going to try. Thanks for the call. They appreciate it. I mean, here's the bottom line with the Yankees. Aaron Judge is all-time amazing. Goldschmidt's a good veteran presence who is in the middle of a little bit of a down cycle, but has had a good year. Bellinger's good, but not great. Stanton, he could be finished. Volpe's too inconsistent. Wells is too inconsistent. Dominguez is too inconsistent. Jazz is incredibly toolsy, but he still doesn't know what kind of player he is. Too inconsistent. Like, there's nights, like the last 10 years, you'll watch the Yankees offense, you'll be like, this team's phenomenal.
Yeah.
And then there's nights when you watch the Yankees offense and you're like, they could lose to anybody in round one of the playoffs. Honestly, that's the assessment.
The inconsistency is maddening. Even Bellinger last night, three bloops. Like, I'm not going to minimize it, but if we're going to go based off of, well, the expected and look at the velo and all that stuff, what were the expected outcomes of his bloopers last night that all three fell in there?
Hey, at least he hustled out of the box on that one to right field, that first one.
It's exactly right.
Wasn't jogging.
Hey, I give him credit for being a hustle player.
He's a ball player.
I like that about him. Yeah. I'm just a little disappointed in the results because I thought he was going to be far better than what he's done. I want to keep him two and Judge three and Stanton four. Also, now I've never been a big, well, I shouldn't say never. Since Stanton got traded to the Yankees, I didn't like the move at the time. I thought it was redundant with Aaron Judge, hated the trade. Since then, he's only gotten worse, meaning he's become barely a DH. He's a part-time DH. He can never stay healthy. He used to be able to play the field. He can't do that. He barely could stay healthy to DH. And then even when he's in there, I just don't like his at-bats. But that being said, it's like he's been hitting since he's come back. And when he does actually connect with the ball, he does hit it hard. So I'm not thinking that he can't catch up to a fastball. But to me, good pitchers should be able to pitch to Stanton and get him out. He's had too many holes in his swing, although October would contradict what I just said.
I know.
Because he's been so good in October. I don't think that Stanton at this point is their biggest problem, other than he's a roadblock for Ben Rice.
Well, it was something we talked about a lot over the years here now, how he's been an impediment to other roster moves based on the lack of flexibility. There's no doubt it's not just Ben Rice, it's been others.
Bryce Harper.
Bryce, we talked about that too.
Meaning not just that he can't play on the positions, right, because of the money that he had at the time.
Yeah, now listen, I've always got to come clean on this. When they got him, I was pumped. I mean, I took the bait like a sucker. He's coming off a year, 59 bombs, 132 RBIs. He's in his absolute prime. At that point, he was about 26, I want, maybe 27. But and he looked like an athlete. I didn't think he would quite break down the way that he has. He's a problem. Everybody knows it. But he's not the problem right now because he's hitting over 300. But to be fair, and to address, I think, the primary point of the last caller, a lot of his hits have been soft contact, like a couple of, you know, even when he first came back, a couple of like three, four hoppers up the middle. Now he's still feeling his way. I have not seen enough evidence to say that the forearm issues and what he could or could not do in terms of training to get ready for the season and the inactivity has robbed him of the ability to turn on fastballs with damage. I can't say that yet. But it could be the case. He's not exactly hitting the ball that hard.
Well, if he's not hitting with power, and again, let's give him, I don't know, a week or so.
Yeah.
I would just leave him alone. You'll know in a few weeks if that's the case. I don't think that he's void of any power or anything like that. You have the, I'd be curious, BT, because I feel like he has been hitting the ball hard when he hits it.
When he started out, there was a couple of bloops. Okay. What is that, exit velo and stuff?
Yeah, you have that?
You know, I went to it on Baseball Savant, and Jeff, that's where you get all your reds, your blues, your percentiles, barrel rates.
Yeah, for him, that would be telling.
Yeah.
Because that's his game. He's
that's the first thing I look for, Sal, but I don't think he has enough at bats because I went to it, I mean, it's such a small sample. All right. So his average exit velo is 97, which is good. Okay. I mean, that's a lot of red right there. Let's see here. His sweet spot rate is 14th percentile. His bat speed is 80 miles an hour. Which is good.
Okay, so
but not really is square. Again, this is where I get nutty and geeky. But his square up stuff and his barrel and his heart. The other numbers are a little cold, but no, not enough visible evidence to say that he lost his speed.
Yeah, or there's something wrong with his elbows. Mm-hmm. Like that would be indicative. I would think those metrics would be indicative of if he had an issue. He just strikes out a ton.
He does.
That's his game. But if he's hitting the home runs, you can live with it. All right, Mets call here. Mark in Brooklyn. What's up, Mark?
Hey guys. Yeah. Too much when you're talking about the. I have a Mets point and a Knicks point. Actually, too much talk with the Mets about the top of the lineup. Too much talk about the pitching. The pitching's injured. This will pass. The top of the lineup. You're right. Situationally, I guess, and even recently, the guys haven't been good. But when you look at Lindor's stats, they're not that bad. When you look at, or at least that much off from what they've been doing, similar to Alonso. Soto is what he is. I don't even want to get into that. But it's really the youth movement. I mean, is Acuna, he's the little brother in more ways than one. How about Mark Vientos? Is Mark Vientos a good player? How about Alvarez? Is Alvarez a good player? How about Baby? To me, like, you can focus on the top of the lineup, but it's the dog days of summer. Like, Alonso's been great. For anyone blaming Alonso, Alonzo's been great. You know, it's
No. Hold on one second. You can't say Alonzo's been great when I'm referencing the last 10 games. So this is not about the season because Alonzo was great. The last 10 games, he's been putrid. So if you're going to use terms like great and MVP, then look at the last 10. Now, it's only a 10-game sample.
But against teams you want to beat and you have to beat.
It's a big 10. And when they need him, BT, because there's nobody else behind him, he's been not bad. He's been putrid.
Yeah, for sure. And listen, absolutely. And I'm not out here to say, like, he's been perfect.
Right.
But I really do think, like, if you want to dive in at the main problems of this team, I don't think there's enough focus on the youth movement or lack thereof. I just think you were a lot when you have such a top heavy team financially. I don't care who your owner is in a sport like this, you need your secondary young guys to step up. You just do, and it's not happening for them. Quick point on the Knicks. I know I'm a little early on. You guys are going to jump into it. Something seems to me, guys, and I don't know if you agree with this, that the Knicks are kind of just holding out on a move. It's taking a long time. They're interviewing the people that make sense. Berengo gets a lot of attention every year in Sacramento. I've heard he's going to get interviewed. It seems like they're just waiting for something. And I'm not going to continue to hold out.
Yeah, Mark, they're waiting for a team to say, yeah, you could have my coach. That's what they're waiting for. They're waiting for a team to grant them consent to make a trade to take Jason Kidd or somebody else here. That's what they're waiting for. I mean, you know my feeling on the Knicks. I don't think there's much of a plan right now. But just to be open to any possibility, there's either zero plan, which worries me, or there's an absolute plan, and they're just playing possum, and they're going to get ready to pounce, and they're still going to get their guy.
Like Jason Kidd.
I just don't think there's much in between here. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, like a kid or
I said
or
yesterday,
no plan.
And we'll get into it coming up, the Mike and Nori stuff, that's the latest one here. But I said yesterday, I feel like all roads are leading to Jason Kidd.
Mm.
Now, right or wrong, like we could decide whether we like that or don't like that, but I just feel like at this moment, it's still leaning toward Jason Kidd. That would be the only thing that would make sense along the way and be like, okay, well, that was their plan all along. I don't think the Knicks... I don't believe that they're planless. I still think it's going to end up with Jason Kidd. Now, whether that will be right or wrong, we will find out.
Yeah, you know, I want it to happen because moves are happening. Durant's off the board. Draft is here. Trades, possibilities, you know. Maybe try to entice Milwaukee for Giannis. Like, there's business to happen, and I like to have a coach in the building as they assess what they're going to do. I mean... You know, I don't want to sound reckless and nuts here, but I kind of like having a coach.
Yeah, no, it would be ideal you know? To have somebody in place. All right, we'll do more on that coming up. Yeah. I do want to get into what he said before we break, and then we'll get back to the calls, 888-808-1019, Boldface Truth, Boldface Live, coming up with intern Nick. About the younger players, it would have been nice for the Mets to get one of those guys to contribute at the big league level by now. Beatty has had many opportunities. He got hurt, and that kind of hurt him because he was starting to produce a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
That's been a negative. Alvarez has not been able to get going now for the last two seasons. Vientos, off of a big last year, disappointing this year. Acuna and Mauricio, different stories. Those guys aren't ready yet to contribute every day at the big league level, and they know that. Mauricio was only up here because of injury. Acuna's not getting enough playing time to have him properly develop.
I mean, Mauricio missed a whole year. Let's give the guy some slack.
Well, he wouldn't have been here if not for the injuries. If not for the Vientos injury, he would not have been up here. Or Beatty, I think it was, when they both went down. He would not be up here. So give Mauricio a little time. I would personally get rid of Jeff McNeil and have Acuna be the everyday second baseman and see what he could do. But whatever, they're going to let him develop. Of the other three, Vientos, Alvarez, Beatty, they needed... really two, but at least one to either live up to or exceed expectations. And, I mean...
0 for 3 so far.
And not only 0 for 3, like, not even close.
Yeah, bad at bats, like strike one, strike two, strike three.
Alvarez been a zero. Beatty's been... Forget it. I wanted to root for Beatty and say, just let him play third, but... Because he was playing decent third
base.
He
was picking it, yeah. He was playing pretty well.
And he was producing a little bit with the bat, coming with some big hits. So I would have liked to have given him some runway. Matt, we don't have that wiggle room here. Like, you're trying to go out there and win a division, win a World Series. So that has been disappointing. I don't know if it's on the fault of the organization for lack of development or guys who they didn't believe in anyway, Beatty and Vientos specifically, just maybe aren't
coming to roost. Maybe their fears
aren't that good.
Being confirmed. That's why I keep saying, better make that big trade. Better make it soon.
Of those three, you think one in particular is going to come
back? I still have more faith in Vientos. I mean, I'm going to give him, of the three, by far the most.
Even more than Alvarez?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You think Alvarez be a bust?
I'm not prepared to say that. You can't hit 25 home runs 2 years ago and go through a handmade injury and other issues from a physical and swing changes and me just throw him on the scrap heap. I'm not going to do that to the young man. But his regression defensively is stark, and that worries me.
Also, think about it. Like, if Alvarez were to come back, you're not looking for somebody to hit 300 with 30 homers at this point.
No.
You'd take 250 and 23, 25 homers.
Yeah. There was the point, I remember you and I were saying, yeah, maybe he's going to be a two-hitter. Maybe he's going to be the five-hitter. Like, we're projecting him forward 2 years ago, we're like, this guy's going to be in the top, you know, fourth of the lineup here.
I thought maybe an all-star, Francisco Alvarez, from a catcher's position.
Anthony Volpe is terrible in this game right now. And I know, listen, he's become the guy. After Aaron Hicks, after Joey Gallo, after the third baseman's name everybody loved too? Why am I drawing up? Donaldson, after we all hated Donaldson. You need a good punching bag. And right now, Anthony Volpe, without question, is the guy everybody is turning to show their frustration with this Yankee team. And listen, he's been in an enormous funk. But there's a couple things I want to just dispel about Anthony Volpe. First, let me just get my obvious Aaron Boone defense out of the way. If any of you have any notion or conception of blaming the Yankees and Aaron Boone for giving him off on Sunday after he got three hits on Saturday, I want you to do something for me. If you're driving, maybe you can try this, but if you're at home or something, I want you to just, you know, if you're wearing a hat, maybe if you're driving something, just take something, put it over your face and just scream into it really loud and then just be done with it. Because it's a stupid thought. It's a stupid thought. If you have a problem, just if you're at home, take a pillow and just scream into the pillow really loud and then just like exercise it and get it out of you. Because to think that to put this on the Yankees for sitting him after all of you, I was live at Fanatics Fest. I couldn't hear it enough. Everybody's telling me Volpe needs a day off. I don't understand. Why do we play him like he's Cal Ripken Jr.? You got to give him a day off. He weighs like 110 pounds soaking wet. Give him a day off. He's terrible right now. He needs it. Why does he have to play every day? I don't get it. Give him a day off. He didn't give him Saturday off because he has good numbers against Eflin. And he told everyone he was giving Anthony Volpe a day off on Sunday. Anthony Volpe comes through with a bloop single, a little dribbler, and the opposite field home run. And then, like, now they've got to change their plans and not give him the off day. Now you can't sit Anthony Volpe after all of you begged to sit him. And then I got to see the Foul Territory podcast put out a thing from this tweet really annoyed me. They put out a tweet because they had Clint Frazier on earlier in the week talking about, you know, the Yankees don't believe in hot or whatever he was talking about, all the nonsense, whatever. So Foul Territory puts out a tweet. Anthony Volpe goes 0-for-4 after a scheduled day off that followed a three-hit performance on Saturday in which he homered. Clint Frazier might have been on to something. Are you watching the New York Yankees? Because let me ask you a question. Say you don't, okay, the Yankees don't believe in hot. Fine, the Yankees don't believe in hot. Are you telling me that one day with three hits, a bloop, a little infield dribbler, and a home run opposite field at Yankee Short Porch, that is now hot? 3-for-28 is hot to the point you gotta play him the next day? After all of you begged to give him a day off? Please, and of course, Marash put it out there too. He has taken so many L's with his baseball takes. Let's just be totally honest. Sean, if you're listening, Evan, if you're listening, you can tell him for me, shut up. Your baseball takes have been atrocious for a week. Atrocious. You're screaming that they didn't give Clark Schmidt an opportunity to throw a 130 pitch no hitter. Congratulations, great. You could scream at the rain like an old man talking about pitch count. Okay, great. That's what they should do. A pitcher who can't stay healthy, who hasn't thrown over 100 pitches his entire career, go out there and have him throw 130 and have a no-hitter in the middle of June. Good, good. Okay. And now this, we're going to blame the manager for giving Volpe the day off everybody was crying for because he got a couple hits the day before, and now this somehow has put him back into the slump. First, let's just start there. Patently ridiculous. Patently ridiculous. And then the other thing that they were talking about in the broadcast about Anthony Volpe is the idea to sell out for contact. That he's swinging too hard, and because in the game, he swings and lets go of the bat twice in the game. I mean, twice! He swings and misses, and the bat goes flying. And the idea that, hey, you know, just go the other way. Take your singles. Don't try and drive the baseball. Would you sign for that? And Paul's like, yeah, I'd sign for that right now, yeah. Here's the problem with that. It sounds all wonderful. Anthony Volpe tried it last year. I don't know why they're not aware of it, why they haven't talked about it. Anthony Volpe played a completely different... His rookie year, he hits 20 home runs. He swings hard at everything. And because he didn't have a good batting average and because the home runs didn't always come there, he hit 20, which is pretty good for a rookie shortstop. He changed his approach last year. He changed it to go the other way. His bat speed completely went down. He was swinging the bat less hard. He was selling out for contact. He was trying to go the other way, and he sucked. That's not his game. Like Paul O'Neill in the broadcast said, yeah, you know, do that and be him. No, swinging hard is him. Power and speed is kind of Anthony Volpe's game, believe it or not. He is not good enough of a hitter to just play like Luis Arraez. That's not his game. And then he picked up the bat speed in the postseason and had an incredible postseason. This is all well documented. Lowered his bat speed to sell out for contact all year long, struggled, decided screw this in the postseason, I'm going to swing hard, someone convinced him, and he had a great postseason, and now he's back to trying to swing hard. And by the way, for the first 2 months of the season, he was having a far better year. He was on pace for 20 home runs, 90 RBIs, and a 760 OPS. He's been awful for the last 2 weeks. Awful. God awful. And he's taking it out on his defense as well. He is struggling. I don't think his approach needs to drastically change because he tried it and he sucked at it all last year. This is who Anthony Volpe is. Swing the bat hard. Try and drive the baseball. Get on base a little bit more, be a little bit more selective, and when you get on base, steal bases. But right now, he's just in a funk. He has been a completely streaky hitter. He cannot find consistency. These are the streaks. He was on a good one last month. He was on a good 3 week good stretch. Now he's been terrible for 2 weeks. It's not what you want. It's not good enough consistently. And again, if this season turns out just like last season, if we, at the end of the year, Anthony Volpe has a 690 OPS and hits 220 and has an on-base percentage under 310, I'll tell you right now, he should not be considered the starting shortstop next year. I'm fully on board. Fully on board with that. But we've got to be fair. Because up until the last 2 weeks, he was having a far better season. We act like he wasn't. He was. I said at the beginning of the year, if it looks like last year, next year can't be the starting shortstop. I was on record. They did a write-up on it. You can go find it on Twitter or whatever. I don't know. It's out there somewhere. I was talking about it. If Anthony Volpe doesn't perform better offensively this year, he should not be the starting shortstop next year. But he was. He was. And now it's up to him to turn it around. But if this season, I'm totally still on board with that comment. If this season, ultimately, the entire thing of it leads to another subpar offensive year, should not be the starting shortstop. And now I think his defense is being overly dramatized as being terrible. I don't think he's a terrible defender. I think he's got good range. I think he's made a ton of good plays. He's having, obviously, more errors this year. And clearly, while he's going through it offensively, he is dealing with it defensively, and he's not being aggressive enough. He was timid in the field last night. He let that high ball and take that second bounce instead of going to attack. It's the same issue he had in the Angels game, same issue he had last night. He is letting the ball play him. But Anthony Volpe right now is going through it. But please don't tell me he should have played the other day. Please don't tell me that. And then we have to recognize that he was playing better, and it's up to him to figure out a way to do it again.
Next week, of course, 4th of July, Mets and Yankees Part 2 as the Subway Series shifts to Citi Field. And I was thinking about it this morning, like, God, all the steam has been taken, the excitement, the joy. Not only is it a holiday weekend, but the idea that both these teams are headed in the wrong direction now for the second meeting.
I actually see it the other way. I think because both teams look so bad right now, especially if this keeps up and they both stumble up until the next Subway Series, I think it's going to feel like it's going to take a playoff series even more than usual.
More desperation for either side.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it's about salvation at this point. Yeah. You know, now and that's no longer June at that point. You know, earliest July. Deadline knocking around the corner. You know, training camps a couple of weeks after that. Like, it's getting serious now. And you know that both fan bases will revel in being the one to potentially drive the stake further and deeper into the other one's season. They both better wake up.
You know, we talk about Boone, and, you know, we're not calling for, but fans calling for Boone's job or questioning. I did question the job security. Like, I wonder, you know, these are the type of ruts. Like, it shouldn't just be, like, not thinking about it. Mm-hmm. These are the type of ruts that get managers fired. The only reason why I'm not bringing it up with Mendoza, and by the way, that, like, that might not be off the table either. I have no idea. But the only reason why I wouldn't even bring it up is because it's year two, mm-hmm. coming off of a great year. But if it's for year three or four for Mendoza and he was going through this rut, what do you think we'd be talking about? That'd be the number one thing. But just looking at the schedules here, trying to see if these teams, and the Mets are playing the Pirates, I think, this weekend. So they have a little softer of a landing spot, but still, it's not about the opponents. About
is Skeens going?
Not that soft. Skeens
and
is,
by the way, the Pirates pitching is really good.
I don't think Skeens is scheduled.
I think they're
he's
missing
not,
Skeens.
Yeah,
he's
missing them.
Three-game series. So the Mets have two more with the Braves tonight and tomorrow.
Yep.
Three in Pittsburgh.
I know the Yanks have the A's coming up.
Then back home against Milwaukee. The Yanks have one more in Cincinnati tonight. Mm-hmm. Off day Thursday. Home with the A's for three. And then a big four-game series in Toronto.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's a big four-game series now all of a sudden. Yanks need to get right before the Mets. They need to get, and then they have, then they'll take on the Mets in the Subway Series, 4th of July.
Mm. So, we've gone through an hour and 30 minutes of emotion.
Yeah.
You feel better? I don't. Everything that I said, I stand by. Both of these teams have massive problems.
No, I'm already beaten down by the Braves. The one thing that I wanted to happen, it's over. Like, it can't happen. Even if they win these two games, they still would have lost. What'd they lose already? The first five to the Braves, right? So, what are they going to be, 2-5 against the Braves? Best case,
they're
going to be 2-5 against the Braves to start the year. That's unacceptable to me.
I know it's unacceptable. I got you. But I would look at it differently if they win the next two. Because if they were to win the next two, that would show me a character that this group is yet to reveal.
All right, here's what we want.
You know what I'm saying? They're on the mat.
Yeah.
You know, Braves own them. If they get up and win two straight, that would show me something
about
the Mets.
What if they just split the next two?
I'd have to see the optics. Like, if they lose 9-1, and I'd have to see.
In Atlanta and then lose 3 out of 4
Honestly,
years.
At this point, you just take one.
No.
Take one if I'm you guys.
The next two maybe gets me to back off a little bit and calm down. Anything less than two in a row. Because then you could paint the path. All right, two in a row against the Braves. You get Vientos back. You start to get Montas Minaya back in that rotation.
We hope. I'm not worried about the floating thing, but we got to see him back.
At Pittsburgh, take 2 of 3. Milwaukee, maybe take 2 of 3. And then
taking a lot for granted there, buddy. And then two of threes.
And then they got to broom the Yankees. I'm not saying that they're going to do it. I'm saying that that's the path to get back to the season back on track.
Understood. Good job laying that out. Maybe this is the better question. Which of these teams do we feel will look right first?
I think the Yankees. I think
I probably agree. I definitely agree with that.
Now, I mean,
the pitching
already over this streak. I mean, the Yanks have lost 9 of 12, which is not good. See, but the one thing is, I don't believe the Yankees are going to change significantly enough to change my thought. Like, I think they're going to be fine. They're still going to win plenty of games. Probably still win the division. I'd be surprised if it went so bad that the Yankees didn't win the division or Toronto all of a sudden beat them 3 out of 4. Now, that would be a different level of... Now, that was what I was going to get into, by the way. Like, if you lose to the Blue Jays and then the Mets, that's where managers really do get fired. I don't know if the Yankees are going to do that with Boone. But anyway, I can't imagine the Yankee season going that far sideways. However, even when they right the ship, I still think they're going to be the same concerns with the lack of offense around Aaron Judge, with the situational hitting, with the consistencies. I don't think that's
bullpen
going away. Yeah, I mean, I think they'll fix the bullpen.
No, I do too, but until it is, it's messy.
Yeah, I don't think the offense is going to fix. Whereas the Mets, they have guys, literally guys coming back, whether it's Vientos, whether it's Winker eventually, who I guess is going to be getting a rehab assignment not too far from now. Minaya coming back in addition to Montas. I think they'll look a little bit different, and their floor will be raised to what level? Who knows?
Updated. I do this every once in a while, and it's gotten worse. I think it's a pertinent time to do it here. Updated 2025 projections for the wins and the divisional percentage. Yankees first up. Right now, you want to take a guess? You did this the other day. How many wins do you think the Yankees are projected
for? I'm still probably going to say this. I forget what I said last time. I'll go 93.
Okay, 94.2. Win total still pretty gaudy.
Okay.
What about for divisional supremacy percentage? They're a game up?
Yeah.
And 2.5 up on Toronto, 1 up on the Rays. Six up on the Red Sox.
73%.
Close. Actually, a really good guess. 69.2.
Okay.
So still fairly favorable, the odds in the favor of the Yankees. Mets, projected win total right now.
89.
Look at you.
And
you got
to
bet something soon, man.
That's low.
89.5. You're right on it.
They've come way down.
Yes, they have. And what about the updated percentage?
That's not good, man.
I agree. Now, it doesn't mean they're going to be right, but... For the division, what do you think the calculation is now? What percent do they give the Mets to win it?
I forget. I think last time was it in the 60s still? I'm going to go way lower than that. I'm going to go 30%.
Keep going lower.
20s?
Yeah. Low 20s.
That's bad.
Or should I say low 20s?
Yeah. See, that's
21.7%.
That does show you again, not that it's the be-all, end-all, but it shows you that the perception... See, the Yankees still pretty much in the same ballpark as they were. They're just hitting a rut. The Mets is more than a rut. There is now a difference of belief of what they are as a team.
I agree, but I don't think that pertains to this. This is just purely not emotional. This is strength of schedule.
Yeah.
I agree. The perception's changing. It's changed for me and for you on the Mets. But these calculations, I believe, are just reflective of, like, there's nothing subjective about this, just about, you know, who you play, et cetera.
D-Rod is calling from Orlando, Florida. What's up, D-Rod?
Hello.
Hey, fellas.
What's up, buddy?
Give me a second. Hey, what's up? Hey, man, I wanted to say that Oral Hershiser interview was fantastic, man. I mean, you look at the guy and you say, man, he looks like a CPA, and then look, all that spicy stuff came out of his mouth. It was really kind of fun, man.
Yeah, a little oral always always good for the soul.
It's
Oh, yeah. That was good stuff. Hey, can I say, Sal, listen, I'm a Yankees fan, so just from the outside in, all I can say is, you know, specific to the Braves, I think you guys need some kind of like 2004 Red Sox moment, you know, whether it's, you know, tomorrow or in September or in the playoffs.
People tried to make it like that was last year on the last day of the season. It was, in fact, not. I never felt it at the time. It was more just about making the playoffs. They didn't kill the Braves off. But clearly what's happened this year shows that that was just a one-off, the Mets' success there. Anyway, what else you got, D-Rod?
Yeah, I'm with you. Well, for BT, first of all, BT, are you doing the two truths? Are you doing a Joe Pesci impersonation here all of a sudden?
What do you mean?
Because you said two truths before about on your last segment.
If I did, it was unintentional. Yeah, I got you.
Right. I got you. Okay. What I want to say about the Yankees analytics, I mean, there's, you know, to your point, BT, there's no feel to anything. There's just, you need feel. You need some kind of feel. And, you know, with computers and analytics, you have no feel. I mean, so I just don't know where that is. You know, I mean, if you look with Volpe, you know, like, you know, well, this is a separate thing about Volpe. Just, and I agree with you too, BT, where, you know, honestly, I think next year, Volpe should be at second base. He doesn't have the arm for shortstop. Mm. You know, he has the range.
Yeah, definitely.
I think the strongest part of his game is his range defensively.
Yeah, and he's got a very quick release because he knew growing up he didn't have, you know, he didn't have an absolute rocket. I'm fine with him at short. I just need some more consistency with the bat. You know, hopefully last night that triple gets him going.
Okay. Well, all right. That sounds good. That's all I got, Phillip. I appreciate you. You guys take care.
Thanks, buddy.
We appreciate you checking in right there. Yeah, I mean, I think with the Volpe stuff, look, unfortunately, I'm going to have to come around to your thinking on this, BT, and just talk about lowering the expectations for both the Mets and the Yankees. I've got to lower my expectations for Volpe. It's year three. There's no more, well, he's going to be a superstar. Now it's just like, he's going to be a productive major leaguer consistently. Is this even enough, whether you move him to second base or not? I wouldn't worry about where he's playing defensively. I just worry about his offense. That's the biggest issue with Volpe.
There's no doubt about it. That is the issue. I mean, he runs, he picks it. He doesn't have a rocket, but he gets rid of it quick, as I said. All right, so here's the thing, though. This is what is interesting. Now, the average is an issue, right? So I'm looking at the numbers here, and if I told you, this is what's so interesting about, like, we watch it, but then sometimes numbers don't seem to add up. He is projected right now to have 40-plus doubles, which is top five right now. 40-plus doubles, 18 home runs, 88 RBIs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and how many steals? It didn't say here. I guess 23, 24 steals. Like, if you told me that a couple years ago, I'd be like, yeah, hell yeah, that's fine, man.
See, if you told me that a couple years ago, I'd say that's a disaster in year
three. It's only a disaster when you're hitting 233. 88 RBIs for a shortstop? When Aaron Judge
For what he was supposed to be?
Supposed to be an RBI monster, masher.
I'm talking about just overall. He was supposed to be a top of the order, middle of the order, top of the order
one
guy.
One or two, right. Yeah, yeah.
Well, impact's bad.
Yeah, but if you're 1-2 and you got 43 doubles and 88 RBIs and 26 steals, now the thing that changes that is the average. He's hitting 233 after hitting, I think, 220, whatever it was a year ago. So that is what is preventing him. And then that obviously impacts on base, which impacts OPS. The other stuff is not nearly as problematic as some think. Now, my ceiling was identified probably before anybody. He's not going to be a superstar.
But that's a problem.
But is it really the problem that some think when you have 40-plus doubles and 80 and almost 90 RBIs?
Yeah, because you're looking at empty numbers to me. Those are just empty stats. He's supposed to be an impact player. He is not. He has had a negative impact on this team. Dating back to they wouldn't even trade him for impact arms to go win a World Series because they thought he was going to be a superstar. I could find you another guy who's going to hit, 30 doubles, play better defense than
Volpe. 30, 40.
Yeah. Well, whatever.
How many guys do you think had 40 doubles last year in baseball?
I don't get caught up in that.
No, I understand that. But if you're going to minimize the 40 doubles, then I just want to know where your line of thinking is.
Line of thinking is that he's supposed to be an impact player. And of those 40 doubles, how many have been impactful for Volpe? Or whatever. He doesn't even have the 40 doubles or projection.
No, it's a projection. Listen, that's why I said the numbers don't really tell the story because you watch Volpe on a night-to-night basis. I'm kind of agreeing with you to an extent. You watch it on an individual basis, you're like, man, he's going to have almost 90 RBIs and 40 doubles, but how come it doesn't feel like that's the case? Now, just as a point of reference, last year, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 guys in all the Major League Baseball had 40 doubles. Like, the gap from 30 doubles, and there's probably 15, 20, 30 guys, to 40 is pretty stark. So I wouldn't minimize the 40 doubles. And then I'd like to know, of the 7 guys who have 40 doubles, how many steal 20-plus bags? I'm not making excuses. I'm just saying it's not as bad as some people think. But more importantly, it's not as good as it was supposed to be.
Get connected with WFAN to talk about your favorite teams. The Fan, always live on the free Odyssey app. Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Welcome! And doesn't it feel good to not be a loser? The Yankees won a game last night. The Mets won a game last night. And we are live from the Cadillac Club here at Citi Field. It's presented by your Tri-State Cadillac dealers. Cadillac is the official luxury vehicle of the New York Mets. We got a busy show today. The great Pete Alonso will join us next hour. Ron Darling will join us a little bit later on. A lot of baseball to get to, a lot of basketball to get to. It is funny. This is the one-year anniversary of us doing a show from the Cadillac Club before Mets-Yankees, and I was having to explain why I was so wrong that the Nets traded Mikal Bridges to the Knicks. That was a year ago, Tiki.
Who cares about Mikal Bridges? I remember walking into this place saying, I'm home.
Yes.
This is my favorite spot in all of the stadiums across the tri-state area.
That is right.
The Cadillac Club. Plied me with martinis as soon as we were done. It was amazing.
And remember this. We've done two shows at the Cadillac Club. This is our third. The Mets record 2-0.
So we're going to put the undefeated streak on the line a little bit later on.
This thing with the Braves, at least the second part of the series.
Yeah, look, the Mets needed a victory. The Yankees needed a victory. This is actually a very symbolic time in baseball because last night the Mets played their 81st game, which is very easy for us who struggle with math. All you need to do is times everything by two, and that's the pace that the Mets are on.
Right.
The Yankees, who did win last night, they're off today, will play their 81st game on Friday. And it got me thinking last night. We're watching Max Fried again dominate, especially off a loss. We're watching Juan Soto be a happy man, hit multiple home runs, be very excited. Are the Yankees better off with Plan B? Because the whole plan B, if they didn't keep Juan Soto, was, well, we'll pivot.
Right.
And the main part of the pivot was Max Fried. If I had to guess, I think they still sign Goldschmidt. They probably don't sign Cody Bellinger. But the real main pivot was Max Fried.
So
as we sit here halfway through the season, Fried's had a great year. Soto's heating up. They're both in first place. I asked the Yankee fan, because I was giving this a lot of thought last night, is plan B right now, 81 games in, better than what plan A would have
been? How can you sit here and say that the Yankees are better off with without Juan Soto? That's why I can't say that the
Even Yankees, though Max Fried has had this ridiculous season?
That's the problem, is that Max Fried is pitching unbelievably, as he did again last night, seven great innings. And so you know how important he is to this. But Carlos Rodon has been fantastic this year as well. So if you didn't get your ace in Max Fried, did you already have the ace in waiting in Carlos Rodon? This is obviously after Gerrit Cole goes down. But, I mean, Juan Soto, if he doesn't leave and go to the Mets, have to get used to a new clubhouse,
right,
have to, I don't know, live in the expectation of this massive contract that he has where he's got to be the leader on the field, maybe even in the clubhouse a little bit, even though I don't know if that's happening. But I think he's comfortable. Right, if he stays.
So he doesn't get off to the slow start he got off to.
He has 19 home runs right now. He probably has 25 if he stayed with the Yankees. And how much more does that make them able to have survived some of those bad points over the last couple of weeks? So it's hard to sit here and say with any kind of credibility, oh, yeah, the Yankees are fine without Juan Soto because they have Max Fried. I get what you're saying, but I can't agree with that.
Well, it's funny. Whenever we talked about Plan A and Plan B with the Yankees with Soto, I think we all agreed they were better off keeping Juan Soto.
Of course.
But in the short term, there was a way they could be better in the short term. And I think we're seeing how that's possible because Max Fried has been one of the best pitchers in baseball.
Right.
He's been the stopper. Like, I was going back and forth on this because there's a part of me that says when you're an everyday player the way Juan Soto is, you impact every single game.
Right.
As opposed to when you're a starting pitcher, you can impact other games based on going deep into a game and not having to overtax your bullpen, something the Mets have done a lot this season. But really, you're impacting the games you start. Everything else is, you know, kind of indirect.
Well, you can be like Gerrit Cole, too, the dugout leader.
Sure.
You're out there encouraging.
Absolutely.
Pitchers,
I don't know how you measure that one.
You can't. But
so it's really what you do on the field. And Max Fried has been, I mean, name the guy you want to argue, he's been the best pitcher in baseball.
Right.
Want to argue Tarik Skubal, fine, but it's a small argument in terms of who's better than Max Fried. And the Yankee offense has been good. Would it be better if Soto was there instead of Cody Bellinger? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens in the 17 games Max Fried started, and what happens in all the games Max Fried has started coming after losses?
Right.
That's the other thing that's kind of crazy, and that's what happened last night with the Yankees.
Well, he's clutch.
He's pitching, coincidentally, a lot of games after Yankee losses, and he's delivering just about every time.
Well, so now that partly changes the argument, because what that tells you is that the rotation from start to finish isn't great, right? Because if he's pitching after losses, that means that whoever your fifth starter is every, you know, out of 6 days is not good.
Or it's
not good enough.
Or it's a coincidence.
I mean,
that's what happens.
Maybe. We're going to have to check that.
Yeah.
But it just tells you that the rotation isn't deep enough. So if you didn't have Max Fried and it was just Carlos Rodon, how much worse is the rotation?
Well, if you don't have Max Fried, and the way I've assumed Plan B versus Plan A would have worked is if they kept Juan Soto, they were adding a first baseman. So Goldie's probably still on his team.
But not a high-priced ace pitcher.
I don't think so, unless Hal Steinbrenner was willing to open up the pocketbook in a way that I think would have surprised most of us. They're probably going more back-end or maybe not adding anybody to the starting rotation. And I think through 81 games, through the first half of the season, it's actually been an edge to have Max Fried here. When you factor in no Garrett Cole, when you factor in the rest of the back of the rotation, when you factor in they've scored plenty of runs.
Mm-hmm.
No Luis Hill for now, which we didn't know at the time, right. In fairness. Remember, Luis Hill goes down. We didn't know that was going to happen. So I think through 81 games, I would actually side, if I'm being fair, I'm being an IBO right now. I'm not taunting. I'm not having fun with you saying Soto's smiling and he hates the Yankees. They are better off having the ace. The problem is, if I project the next 81 games and project the next 14 years, that's easy.
Right.
Then you're not better off with plan B.
Well, it's also asinine to say any team is better off without Juan Soto. So that's the first thing I hear.
Yeah, but you're leaving out the part that you added Max Fried.
I understand.
You're just saying there's no Juan Soto.
But you hear Juan Soto is not on your team anymore, and you're better. I mean, it doesn't make any damn sense.
Yeah, because you left out the Fried part. You're being misleading.
I'm not being
misleading.
You're
like a politician.
I'm not.
You and Jay Feely talking lately?
Yes, we have been. I love Jay Feely running for Congress out in Arizona.
That's why I said it.
Fifth district, by the way. So anyways, I feel like the Yankees are surviving without Juan Soto offensively because Trent Grisham gets four hits last night. You see the Martian who has long sought to be this guy who's going to come in and revolutionize whatever. He finally hit and had a big day last night. He had four hits as well. So they're getting buoyed offensively, but it's kind of hit and miss. It's here or there. Trent Grisham went through a stretch for about a month where he just wasn't that same player that he started the season with.
Right.
So I hear you. You can pitch no-hitters or close to it, but if you don't score any damn runs, how are you better?
No, and that's the other thing. Like, in the games Fried doesn't pitch, how much better would Soto have made the Yankee offense? And the answer is considerably better.
All right, let's ask the real Yankee fan, Sean Morash. Are you finally over Juan Soto?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I saw this tweet last night that was so utter troll.
No, I'm happy.
It had to make Evan proud.
No, I'm happy for Juan Soto. He's finally happy here, and I think that's great. But yeah, no, of course I'm over it. But the Yankees are better off to answer that question now. I was honest. I didn't think so early. But remember when they let go of Juan Soto and they signed Max Fried? We thought Cole would be a part of this. We thought he would be a part of this.
But they didn't. I think they knew that Garrett Cole was likely. Okay. Not going to be a long-term part of the 2025 season.
Maybe not, but I can only look at this from a fan's perspective. To me, Juan Soto, we have a 15 years to get through and judge it.
Right.
There has been no more impactful free agent in Major League Baseball than what Max Fried has done for the Yankees. So if I feel that way, how do I not look at their plan B they had and go, yeah.
Yeah, you're right and you're wrong all at the same time. And here's my point on this. Through 81 games, through the sample size that we are now at, 81 for the Mets, 80 for the Yankees. Tomorrow night, they'll officially hit the halfway point. I would argue, and it's close, that plan B has been better than plan A because of the value Max Fried has given the rotation. But here's what should depress you. It's close. And Max Fried has been 85 Doc Gooden to make it close.
Sure.
For the next half of the season, I don't know if it'll be that close. For next year and year three and year four and year five, it isn't going to be because Max Fried is great now. I don't know what he's going to be next year or the year after.
That's
where you lose. And that's what I always said about the plan A versus plan B. There's a reason it was plan A because it's your preferred option.
Yeah.
And while you may benefit in the short term, which I think they've done through 81 games, that's my victory I hand to you.
You're talking about the Yankees.
The Yankees, he represents them. There's no way that continues over the next, forget 50.
But why not?
Because pitchers in general are not surviving at this level for more than a couple of years.
Okay, but if the Yankees,
if that's your big
behind
retort,
Max Fried, behind Carlos Rodon, let's say Jason Dominguez and Trent Grisham become these stalwarts, and they are what we thought they were at the beginning of the season, and they win a championship, it doesn't matter.
Okay, so you brought up the cancellation button. Anytime you win a championship, all arguments die. Like, in honor of the one-year anniversary of the Mikal Bridges trade, I know that as the years go by, Tommy and I will always have the back and forth about who won the trade, right? Stupid little argument. Tommy always knew, and I always knew this too, if the Knicks win an NBA championship, debate ends. That's it. It's over. Won the trade. Goodbye. It's over.
Right. If they trade him this offseason, the Knicks lose.
Well, that's a different story. But you're right.
Don't look scared, Tommy.
If Max Fried leads the Yankees, like what he's done through the first half of this season is unbelievable. Like, I pulled some numbers because they're really incredible for how good this guy has been. He has put together one of the great starts in the history of the New York Yankees through the first half of the season. And I don't know if that can continue in the second half. If it does, he's going to win a Cy Young. But, hold on, I pulled it. It was amazing. Here it is. 1.92 ERA, third lowest by a Yankee pitcher in his first 17 starts since 1913.
Wow.
Fried has allowed two or few earned runs in all but two of his starts. He has been the most dominant Yankee after losses, 8-1 with a 0.93 ERA. He's having a ridiculous season.
Yeah, he is.
If that continues, let's say I'm wrong about, you know, wow, he's going to not pitch as well in the second half. If this continues and he wins the Cy Young, and then in the postseason, unlike his resume, he dominates the postseason and he's the World Series MVP, well, then obviously plan B worked for your championship.
Right.
Just like if the Yankees won a World Series last year, the Soto trade would have been worth it, no questions asked. So, yes, the championship is the great derailer, if you will.
It is the great derailer, but even in the context of 81 games, so the first 81 of this season, the Yankees are fine.
Yes.
But I can't say they're better without Juan Soto.
But they wouldn't be leading the division right now, though.
I don't know if I can agree with that.
Because of all that Max Fried's done, the way they've won games with Max Fried, I think even Juan Soto, think about when the Yankees were scoring all the runs at the beginning of the year. Juan Soto would have just added to that. Juan Soto now, yeah, he would have helped as they were slumping during this point.
Right. Useless runs
useless
when you're
runs.
Blowing teams
but,
out.
But knowing that you haven't had Colin Heal and knowing the way the pitching is kind of gone like this, who Winans would have been up here earlier? Like, what would the Yankees have done right now?
Max Fried.
Maybe they would have signed Sean Manaea and he would have been hurt.
Maybe. Or they signed someone who gets
right.
hurt.
Right.
Max Fried is receiving about 7 runs per game in run support. That's not to minimize what he's done. But my point is, if you are having Soto in this lineup and you have an average replacement, if the Yankees are scoring enough runs, they may win those games anyway.
Right. Maybe. I have a hard time thinking they are leading the Tampa Bay Rays knowing what's happened right now without the job of Max
Fried. And here's the other thing you're not factoring in. If Juan Soto was still on the Yankees instead of Cody Bellinger, and I do think that's a one-for-one comp, because I think if Soto is here...
Right, not to say that they're equal, it's just the... It's who they replaced.
I don't think Goldie replaced him. I think they were signing Goldie either way. They needed a first baseman.
Or Bellinger was the first baseman.
I agree. The reason I disagree is the lefty-righty thing.
Okay.
I think they would have preferred Goldie, plus it wasn't a trade. It was a free agent signing. I think it would have been Goldie. If Soto's there batting second ahead of Aaron Judge, or vice versa, depending on the way Boone wanted to do it, can you imagine the amount of RBIs Aaron Judge would have? He's having a historic season anyway. So you can't minimize what would have been different about this lineup if Juan Soto was here. And so we're 81 games in, and you think it's not even close.
Yeah.
I tell you, it's close, and Max Fried's had a historic start to
the
season.
I'll tell you, it's debatable is what the answer is, because both teams are in good spots right now. Half a game out, the Mets are, because of the Phillies losing to the Astros again and obviously finally getting a win over the Braves. But the Yankees are just sitting atop the East, the AL East. And while they're getting the Toronto's getting closer and
Tampa
is right there, it doesn't feel like they're threats. And so
I kind of agree with that. The standings may be close. It doesn't feel like a threat.
It's weird. You don't feel scared.
And I feel the opposite. Like, even though the Phillies just lost back-to-back games to the Astros, in which they haven't scored a run, I'm like more afraid of a team like Philadelphia than I would be about Tampa Bay and Toronto. But let me give the Mets some credit, because they needed to win yesterday. We did not want to be here in that kind of mood after more losses to Atlanta. Juan Soto delivers with a pair of home runs. Clay Holmes battled through 5 innings. It was an all-around good day for the New York Mets.
It was.
They win a baseball game. They finally score some runs. Can I nitpick one little tiny thing?
Yeah, real quick, I just got to say thank you, Tommy and Sean, for the impromptu Lugash debate series that kind of, for a day, broke the curse. Thank you, guys.
It's a great
appreciate
point,
you.
Tiki. Thank you very much.
Congratulations on your victory. Thank you for participating.
You're welcome.
We do what we can.
2-0, the Yankees and Mets are.
That's right.
It's the debate to refix the Mets and Yankees, because for those that are not aware, Sean and I had a debate who's better, Mets or Yankees, at the height of their greatness. And right after that debate, both teams went on horrible losing streaks.
Should we re-debate that today now?
No. Let me tell you something. Never again in the history of this radio station are we, at least, doing a who's better, Mets or Yankees debate, considering what it started. But Juan Soto was great last night. He electrified Citi Field. Juan Soto, do me one favor. Mm-hmm. See, I'm going to nitpick all my Mets, all right? Like Pete Alonso, who'll join us at 3 o'clock. I'll tell him this. Pete, can you hit a couple of home runs? It's been one home run in the last 3 weeks. I mean, can you put a few over the fence? We're waiting on this Darryl Strawberry record.
The greatest home run hitter in your history and your franchise's history is now second to Juan Soto?
No. I'm just saying I need Pete to hit a home run.
I know, but he's second to Juan Soto now.
Oh, you mean this season?
This season.
That's fine. That's okay. Once Pete gets hot, he may pass him. Can Juan hit a couple of home runs with guys on base? Like, Juan Soto.
Say that to his face, Evan.
Juan, I love you, bro. This is how I say it to Mets. This is the way I'll say it to Pete in an hour. You know I love you, Juan. Actually, don't know. You have no idea who I am.
By the way, these are previews of the bobblehead, the giveaways that are coming up in the 2025 schedule for
yeah.
the Mets.
Yeah, it looks good. If you're watching on SNY, you can see it. If you're listening, it's basically a replica of Juan Soto. He's got his ass sticking out. He's getting ready to hit.
Yep. Speaking of ass sticking out.
what? More? Mrs. Met?
Mrs. Met is coming as well.
Yeah. There's the Mrs. Met bobblehead for those that are watching on
TV. Do you have a question for Juan Soto that you needed to ask?
Yeah, my question is this. How many home runs has Juan hit this season? What's our grand total now?
19.
He's at 19?
19.
Juan, like 16 of them have been solo shots. And I love you. And trust me, solo home runs are fantastic. Mm-hmm. But can you hit a couple with guys on base, please?
Yes, Evan.
And that goes to the entire Met team.
Yes.
The Mets are hitting a ton of home runs even when they can't score runs. No one's ever on base. Can you hit a couple with guys on base? Thank you, Juan.
Yeah, and you can get that Juan Soto bobblehead Saturday, August 16th, a nice giveaway.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I'm going away that day, and I'm still trying to talk my wife into, actually, let's go to the Met game, get the Soto bobble, and then we'll
leave.
It's
so easy. Just give your tickets to Tommy. Tommy will represent you sitting in your perfect seats and get you the bobblehead.
Here's the problem.
He'll be here early. He's got no kids to worry about. He can actually come over at like 9:30.
Here's the problem. I've done this before. I've actually given tickets to people where I say, hey, look, free tickets. Give me the giveaway. And if I'm not mistaken, Tommy, you have shamed me for this on the air before.
I have.
So how could I then ask him to do the thing he shames me for?
What if I told you, Evan, I have a Juan Soto bobblehead. It'll cost you $5,000, though. You could Venmo me or cash either way.
Yeah, I'd say hold on to it. Maybe you could sell it on eBay in a couple of months. We got a lot going on. We're from the Cadillac Club. We'll get to your calls next, 888-808-1019. The Mets get a big victory. The Yankees get a big victory. And as we reach the halfway point, are the Yankees truly better off with their plan B, which features Max Fried on his way to potentially an American League Cy Young, but not having Juan Soto? Pete Alonso will join us coming up in the 3 o'clock hour. And yes, despite being in a very classy place like the Cadillac Club, I have been informed that at 4:30 today, we will be joined by Bad Tiki. So
I thought we postponed him for today.
No, he's here. Bad Tiki will join the program coming up.
Hide the Mrs. Met bobblehead.
You better.